by John on Apache Nemo. Enjoy.
Yeah, thank you for the introduction. So this talk is about Apache Nemo, the data processing system that makes it easy to optimize your big data pipelines. And we entered the incubator last year, so it's a fairly new project. And I'll start quickly by first introducing myself. I'm John. I am currently a graduate student in Seoul National University. So Nemo and I, we are both working toward graduation. I like programming distributed systems. I am currently a committer of two Apache projects. So Nemo is the one that I'm spending most of my time in recently, and Reef is the one that I previously worked on. Reef project is now a top-level project, and this is my first time at an Apache Con. So I've mostly been to academic conferences, and I guess this is like my first open source conference. So, you know, just if you see me around, just feel free to come by, and I'll be happy to talk about Nemo, and I'll be happy to learn about your projects as well. And it's really amazing to see like so many people working on so many different projects in one place. So yeah, I'm glad to be here. So my history with Apache begins in 2014. So it has been a long time since I started graduate school. My advisor is gone, and he was on the team that started the Reef project in Microsoft. So he recommended me to do research using Reef. So through that, I got to learn like about these different big data projects in Apache. And by the way, Reef is a framework on YARN resource managers such as YARN, Mesos, and others. So with Reef, you just build your code once, and your code runs on different resource managers. Yeah, and year later, Reef graduated, and by that time, I got some familiarity with different systems in the Apache universe. And then 2016, in our lab, the Nemo project started. And then 2 years later, we entered the incubator, and now I'm here to talk about Nemo. So let me tell you a little bit about Nemo, how it got started in the first place. It was started in the lab that I'm a member of. It's called Software Platform Lab at Seoul National University. And the high-level goal that we had was to make it easy to optimize distributed execution of big data pipelines. It basically grew out of our frustration with the existing systems like Spark and others with regard to implementing different research ideas that we had, different scheduling or different data communication optimizations that we wanted to do. And with the existing systems, the only way is to fork the repository and modify, do some ad hoc modifications to their core like schedulers and executors and all those low-level code. So we wanted to, instead of doing that, we wanted to build a general data processing system with an API to apply these different optimizations. So our main contribution that we aimed for was a programming interface for applying and applying these optimizations. So I'll go into the details of what the interface looks like and several concrete example optimizations. And I'll do a live demo of one of the optimizations. So after we joined the incubator last year, we are more going for community building. So through joining the incubator, we, as all of you guys already know, we got new mentors, and we also got new contributions from outside of SNU, which is really good. And we also are collaborating with different Apache projects. So especially with Beam, Nemo is now an official Beam runner. So you can just bring your Beam applications and Nemo will run those for you. And we also gave a talk at the Beam Summit 2019 Europe. And then we did a Google Summer of Code, which is also another program for getting more people to involved. And our project is young, so we are open to new ideas. We open to new changes. So if you have specific use cases, please let us know, and we'd be happy to talk about those and merging those into the master. Nemo is fairly well integrated with the existing Apache project. So currently we support running Beam and Spark applications. And Nemo itself is able to run on different resource managers such as Yarn and Mesos with the integration with Apache Reef. So you can basically introduce Nemo into your infrastructure with a minimal overhead. You just need to, in case of Beam applications, you just need to specify Nemo as your choice of runner to use. So it's just a single line in the command line or a single line of code in the application. And in case of Spark, you only need to change your Spark context and Spark session classes. You only need to replace those with the implementations that we provide. And all the existing application logic doesn't need to change. And receiving these applications as input, Nemo will optimize and execute the applications across the cluster. So now that I've talked about, like, gave you a high-level overview of how Nemo came to be and what Nemo is, I'll go a little bit more into the details of Nemo. So just in case some of you guys don't know or not very familiar with how big data applications are executed across a cluster, I'll first talk about how a distributed word count works. It's executed in existing systems. And then I'll move on to talking about Apache Nemo. So I'll first talk about the overall workflow, how Nemo optimizes and executes applications like word count. And then I'll introduce several example optimizations. And then I'll show you several evaluation results that we have done. And then I'll show a demo, live demo of running a Beam application on Nemo. And then I'll end with the roadmap. So applications like this distributed word count, these applications are expressed using high-level programming models like Spark or Beam programming model. So in this case, we map each word to a pair of word and a count of one, and we sum up the count for each word. So this is the application that data scientists write. And such applications are usually compiled into a runtime-directed acyclic graph. So the map vertices here will contain the map functions specified by in the application, and the reduce function, reduce vertices will have the reduce function. So the execution will be parallelized with regard to the number of multiple vertices, and the data dependencies will be specified with the edges between the vertices. And this DAG will be executed by a distributed runtime that is typically consists of master and execute processes. So if we look into the runtime architecture, the master usually has a scheduler component that schedules the vertices in the DAG across the cluster, and then the input data is usually stored in the distributed file system like Hadoop file system. First, data center resources are acquired from resource managers, and then executor processes are run on these resources. And so executors are kind of long-running processes that does the actual data processing. So the scheduler will distribute the map vertices to these executors, and they will process their portions of data and output their results to an intermediate channel abstraction that is usually provided by systems like Spark or Flink or others. Here, let's suppose that we are using disks to store the intermediate data. And then the reduced vertices will fetch their corresponding partitions from the channel abstraction, effectively shuffling the data. So this is a very standard execution flow of big data systems. And here we make some observations about the resources and data and how they affect the performance of such execution of these applications. So we see that these resources and data, they are becoming diversified. So data center resources, more and more analytics are being done on data that are geographically distributed. And then there are cheap transient resources that you temporarily borrow from latency critical tasks in your data centers. And then the input data are becoming large and skewed. And then there are obviously many different examples of different characteristics. And in this talk, I'll just cover the cheap transient resources and large scale data and how Nemo is able to optimize the execution for these different characteristics. So in case of cheap transient resources, let's suppose that one of the executors is running on transient resources borrowed from latency critical tasks. So you can consider such resources as like low priority containers provided by Yarn or Mesos, and they are quite frequently evicted when a higher priority jobs want the resources. So when that eviction happens, then you lose the computations that was happening at that time, and then you lose the intermediate data. So you have to do recomputations, which cause performance degradation. Second example is large-scale data shuffle. With large input data, naturally you have many map and reduce vertices that create many data partitions. And shuffling all these partitions, which are stored in disks, cause a lot of disk seek overheads that also degrade the performance of your applications. So these are like several example problems with different resource and data characteristics. And we ask this question, how can we optimize distributed execution for these issues? And as I mentioned before, with existing systems, you directly modify the scheduler or directly modify the channels. So you just fork the repository and you do these ad hoc modifications. Of course, they work because you are just modifying the runtime core. So you can do basically anything. But we believe that it's not the ideal way of doing things when adapting the execution to different scenarios. So these are three specific things that are hard to achieve with the direct specialization. So first is correctness. How can we how can you ensure that the changes that you made and the execution after the changes you made produces the same final data output as the original execution with the original existing code? And second is reusability. How can you ensure that the specialization that you did works across different many different applications? And third is composability. How can you ensure that, how can you combine different optimization, different specializations to maybe handle cases with combined resource and data characteristics? So our goal is to provide these properties and make it easy to optimize scheduling and data communication. So the idea is very simple. We just raise the abstraction layer and allow users to work at a higher work at this intermediate representation layer to express their optimizations. So given these different applications such as Beam or Spark applications, we first convert the application to an IR DAG. So here the vertices represent logical operations and the edges represent communication patterns. So here we have a shuffle dependency between the map and reduced vertices. Then we provide this optimization pass abstraction, which is simply a function that transforms an IR DAG to produce a new IR DAG. And our claim is that writing these passes, just these functions, is much simpler than modifying the scheduler or modifying the executors in the runtime core. And our system, our NeMo runtime, will reflect these optimizations when executing this IR DAG. So I'll now talk about the overall workflow of Apache NeMo. So to submit a job to NeMo, in addition to an application that you have, you can specify optimization passes that you want to use to execute this specific application. So there are two types of passes, compile time passes and runtime passes. So suppose that in this example, we have three compile time passes and one runtime pass to use to run this application. So when receiving all these parameters, NeMo first converts the application to an initial IR DAG and then applies the compile time passes in the list order. So pass C1 is applied first, and the resulting IR DAG, NeMo is able to check the correctness of the resulting IR DAG. And then C2 is applied, and we also, again, check for correctness. And we also check that C2 does not undo any of the optimizations made by C1. So we ensure that these passes can be combined with each other without affecting the other's optimizations. And then C3 is applied, and after all these compile time passes are applied, the IR DAG is converted to a runtime DAG and is executed by our runtime. And we honor all the optimizations specified on the IR DAG during the runtime execution. And the runtime passes are invoked during the job execution. So the NeMo scheduler will produce a message during job execution, and a corresponding runtime pass will be invoked. And again, we also check for correctness and conflicts. And this new runtime DAG will be reflected to the running runtime DAG while considering for correctness. Okay, now that I've covered like high-level workflow of NeMo, I'll go into what some of these optimization passes look like. So the passes that we currently have, they usually are written in this way. So a pass given an input IR DAG, it traverses the IR DAG and it inserts utility vertices and annotates execution properties. So these are constructs provided by NeMo to express optimizations. So a utility vertex applies a specific function to the input data, and an execution property configures a specific scheduling or communication method. So we've implemented various passes for different scenarios, but I'll go over the large shuffle pass and transient resource pass in this talk. So we're going to write this large shuffle pass. Suppose that we want to write this pass, and our goal here is to avoid the on disk data shuffle and avoid the disk seek overheads that we saw earlier with the example that I showed you. So our strategy is going to be shuffle data in memory and write the shuffle data to disks and read from disks sequentially. So we avoid the disk-based shuffle. And this is the algorithm that a NeMo user would write to achieve this goal. So for each shuffle edge E in an IR DAG, we create this vertex called relay vertex. It's one of the utility vertices that we provide, and we insert it for each shuffle edge. So on the IR DAG on the left will become this new IR DAG on the right with this line of code. And you can see that the relay vertex is inserted in between the map and reduce vertices. And this vertex, the semantics of this vertex is to apply an identity function. So it just forwards the data to downstream without changing the data. Then we'll annotate some execution properties to specify some scheduling and communication behaviors. First, we will annotate push to execute the map and relay vertices concurrently, and then we'll annotate memory and discard to do in-memory data shuffle without overwhelming the memory with a lot of data. So we do not preserve the data in memory. So this lets the map and relay vertices to execute concurrently doing in-memory push-based shuffle. And then we do pull and disk on the outgoing edge of relay, so that the reduced vertex executes after the map and relay vertices execute, and we do sequential disk access. So as you can see, this is a very simple algorithm for expressing very complex distributed behavior. And then on the right we have the resulting IR DAG, and on the left we have the original IR DAG. And we can simply check for correctness by simply looking at the execution properties and the semantics of the relay vertex. So here you can see that both, given the same input data, both IR DAGs always produce the same output data, right? So this means that this optimization is correct. And this is one of the benefits that you have by working at a higher layer of abstraction. So this can now be executed. The map and relay vertices, they execute concurrently, and they do this in-memory data discard shuffle, and the shuffle data will be written to disks. And because the data are already shuffled, the reduced vertices can simply fetch the data from the local disk sequentially, and reducing the disk seek overheads. So that was the first optimization. This is the second optimization for transient resources. The goal here is to minimize recomputations caused by evictions on transient resources. So our strategy is going to be placing computations on transient and reserved resources judiciously, and then we're going to push data from transient to reserved resources to move data quickly away from the dangers of evictions on the transient resources. And this will be the algorithm for the second optimization. So this time we'll visit each vertex in a topologically sorted order, and we'll examine the incoming edges of each vertex. If one of the edges contains a shuffle edge, we place it on the reserved resources because we deem those vertices valuable. We don't want to lose them, so we put them on the reserved resources, and the other vertices, we put them on the transient resources to harness the cheap transient resources that we want to use. So we get this annotations on the right, and then we specify push data flow to push data from transient to reserved resources. And this completes the second optimization. And again, we can check for correctness quite easily. On the right, we only have new annotations that do not really affect the semantics of the application. So this optimization is correct. Thus, we can execute again this job in the cluster. This time, the map vertices are on transient resources, the reduced vertices on reserved resources. They are executed concurrently, and we get this interesting data flow going from transient resources to reserved resources. So even with evictions on transient resources, we get a good performance by moving data out quickly. So we saw these two passes that try to achieve completely different goals. But because they are expressed in a uniform way, they can be combined into a single optimization. So on this original IR deck, we can first apply the large shuffle pass. And then on top of that, we can then apply the transient resource pass. And then we get this new IR deck with the combined optimizations. And again, we check for correctness, and we also check for conflict. So this new IR deck can be executed in the cluster. Okay, I'll show you some evaluation results. So we've evaluated different scenarios, many different scenarios and combined scenarios. But here I'll talk about large data shuffle, transient resources, and large shuffle on transient resources. We've evaluated various systems. The last three systems you guys are probably not very familiar with. They are kind of research systems. But anyways, I'll talk about, I'll compare Nemo with Spark, and then also Pado, which is specialized for handling transient resources. So this is the result of large data shuffle. For this one, we run a MapReduce workload on 20 EC2 instances. Y-axis is job completion time. X-axis is input data size. So as the input data size grows, Spark degrades significantly due to the disk seek overheads that I described earlier, whereas Nemo is able do not have that problem with the large shuffle pass optimization that I described. Second is transient resources. So for this one, we run a machine learning algorithm on 10 transient and 2 reserved EC2 instances. Y-axis is job completion time. X-axis is eviction rate. So as the eviction rate goes up, Spark degrades significantly due to the repeated recomputations of intermediate data, whereas Nemo and Pado, they do a good job with the optimizations. And the point here is that Pado was built from the ground up to handle these scenarios, whereas Nemo, we just used the transient resource pass to achieve this result. So you just write simple functions and you get this nice performance benefits in Nemo. Lastly, large shuffle on 10 transient resources. We run a 1 terabyte MapReduce on 10 transient and 10 reserved resources. Y-axis is again job completion time. X-axis is now the pass used in Nemo. So without the transient resource pass, default pass and large shuffle pass, they both suffer from performance degradation with the repeated recomputations. Whereas with transient resource pass, we run into out of memory while trying to push a lot of data into reserved resources. Whereas both passes combined, we get good performance, outperforming the cases with using just a single optimization pass. So you can combine these different passes to attack cases with combined scenarios. Okay, so I'll do a live demo of Nemo. So what this demo is going to be is that, so let's imagine that we are data scientists, and we have a 4-node Yarn HDFS cluster. So it's very small compared to like 1,000 nodes clusters that you guys have in your companies. But yeah, for the demo, it's a small cluster. And we'll try to run a Beam word count application. And we have two optimization policies that we're going to use, the default policy and the large shuffle policy that contains the optimizations of the large shuffle pass that I described earlier. And I'll execute the application and examine the two runtime DAGs produced by these two optimizations. So this is the Yarn web UI. So here we have the Z master node with three worker nodes, W1 to W3. And then for name nodes, we have three worker nodes as well. And the name node is in the Z node. Okay, so we have a 4-node cluster. And then, oh, I forgot to launch the IntelliJ, sorry. Yeah, so meanwhile, I'll show you the input data. So browse the file system. And this is the input data. It's a small 10 gigabyte input data downloaded from the Wikipedia logs repository. So we have these files in this directory. Okay. Now, yeah. So this is the Beam word count application. Takes as input two file paths, file path, input and output. And then it does map, followed by sum for each key. And then convert the KV class to a string and write the strings to the output file path. And note that only this line of code is specific to Nemo. All the other lines of code, they are purely Beam code. So this is the only line of code that you're going to change to use Nemo. Okay, so this is the application. And then we're going to see the default policy. So the policy is a group of passes that you're going to use to run to optimize your application. This is the default composite pass. So we have all these kind of required properties and things like that here. So we determine the parallelism, data store, encoding, decoding, all these things. So this is the default pass that consists of multiple sub passes. And then this is the large shuffle policy. So in addition to the composite default passes, we specify large shuffle pass. It actually consists of two sub passes. The reshaping pass, as I showed you on the slide, for each shuffle, we insert this relay vertex. And then the annotating pass, it's just a single line of code for each annotation, right? So it's very simple. And yeah, you just write these lines of code and you get the optimization benefits. Okay, so we are now on the master node in this shell. And we're going to use this script to run Nemo. So the policy name, the policy we're going to use will be the default policy. Maybe you can see better with the larger text. Yeah. So we're going to move into the Nemo directory path. And then we're going to use the script provided by Nemo to run our Beam application. So the job ID will be the policy name. The user main will be the word count that I showed you. And the argument will be the input and output file path. And the policy that we're going to use is going to be the default policy. And then we're going to deploy it on Yarn. And then these are the resources that we're going to use. So it's pretty similar to Spark. The main difference is the optimization policy that you can specify as part of your configurations. And then DAG directory is the directory for logging out the IR and runtime DAGs. Okay, so now I'm gonna run the job here. Yeah, so you can see the Nemo logo and the Reef logo because we're launching the job on Yarn. So it's being executed, and I'll show you what the DAG looks like in Nemo. So these are the previous runs that I did for testing, and this is the one that is currently running. So on in Yarn, you can see that the Nemo application is currently running here. State is running. And I'm gonna visualize the most recent DAG, runtime DAG. Yeah, so this is the runtime DAG. So the circles, they represent IR vertices, and the rectangle around multiple circles, they are vertices in the runtime DAG. So IR DAG vertices are circles, rectangles are runtime DAG vertices. We fuse multiple IR vertices into a single runtime vertex to maximize pipelining. And these annotations, they specify the execution properties used. So here you can see that the map stage is followed by the reduce stage with multiple IR vertices inside. So it's a typical map reduce DAG that you'll see in almost all other systems, right? And the job completed, and if you go into the output directory, this is the run that we did. You can see the output data. Now we're going to optimize the execution with the large shuffle policy. So just single line change, and you'll be able to handle large data more efficiently, right? So run. We just changed the optimization policy that we're going to use with this line of code. And again, it runs. So large shuffle policy. Now it's running. So this is the new directory there. And if we print out, the runtime DAG again. In this time, we have three stages due to the relay vertex inserted in the middle. So we have a stage dedicated to execute this relay vertex. So we have three stages instead of two, but it performs better because it uses the disks more efficiently. It does not shuffle. It does not use the disks for shuffling, right? So it performs better. It does not show with this demo because it's such a small data, but with large input data, you can also have the same benefits that I showed you with the graphs. And if you cannot see this because it's too small, but it says in-memory data shuffle followed by on-disk data fetching with the one-to-one dependency. And the job has been completed. And when we check the outputs, again, the same output. And these outputs will be exactly the same as the outputs produced by the unoptimized execution, right? So that's the benefit of Nemo checking the IR DAGs and ensuring that your optimizations work correctly. Okay, back to the slides. So the roadmap, this is the current demo stack. The passes, they transform the IR DAG, and then we have the master and the executor. And the recent development in NEMO has been, there have been mostly four major developments. We have machine learning-based optimizations on top of the IR DAG abstraction. And then we have off-heap optimizations that span across different layers. And then we have the Lambda Executor project to integrate with cloud services such as AWS Lambda. And then we have the disaggregation research project for dealing with disaggregated data centers that are becoming more and more popular. So like disaggregated storage in Facebook and those kinds of architectures. So ML-based optimizations, Wonuk, Uyeon, Taegeon. So only I came among the many committers of NEMO, but there are other, I'm only one of the committers here. So Wonuk, Uyeon, Taegeon, they are leading this project. The goal, the passes that I showed you, they are mostly heuristics, right? So instead of, and they are written manually by us. But instead of that, what they're trying to do is to optimize the IR deck automatically based on the historic execution statistics. So the example PRs recently merged to master are database for storing metrics, and then a policy that uses the metrics to optimize the IR deck. Second is off-heap optimizations led by Gaewon and Haeyun. The goal is to minimize the CPU and memory overhead of using on-heap JVM objects. So with JVM systems, you inevitably get many, many JVM objects representing your data elements. So we want to mitigate the overhead that are caused by these many JVM objects. And example PRs are off-heap memory store for maintaining data in off-heap memory, maintaining intermediate data in off-heap memory, and separation of JVM heap region and off-heap memory region to maintain these two separate regions explicitly. And then Lambda Executor are led by Taegeon and Gao. The goal is to combine virtual machines and serverless frameworks to execute a single BIM application. So you give us your BIM application or Spark application, we run them across a combination of virtual machines and serverless frameworks, because these different types of resources have their own strengths and weaknesses. So we want to get the best of the both worlds with this project. Example PRs are policies that specify, for example, which computations to place on AWS Lambda, and some interfaces to integrate with the existing scheduler code that we have. Finally, disaggregation. Chung-Yun and Hae-Yun are working on this. The goal is to optimize execution for disaggregated data center architectures. So disaggregated storage, so you, rather than having your intermediate storage systems local to your computations, recently there has been more and more cases of having disaggregated storages connected with the computation clusters by network. So we want to optimize the execution tailored to such environment. Okay, so I've talked a lot about lots of things here, and I hope you remember some of them. But this is like the only slide that you can remember from this talk, if you remember anything. So please download and try NEMO. So if you have Beam Spark applications, just several lines of code changes and you are able to use NEMO, you can try it out and see if the optimizations work for you. If you have Yarn and Mesos clusters, and if you have some data sleeping in your cluster, you may use NEMO to process your data for whatever niche that you have. We always welcome contributions and feedbacks. So I'll be around the conference, and please come by and, you know, we can talk about anything. So give us an email about anything. Yeah, we are happy to collaborate with other Apache projects and learn new things. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to take questions. Yeah?
So have you considered making these transformations off-based?
Yeah, so that's the one in the roadmap. So, well, like in a naive way, the optimization passes that we already have, they are kind of cost-based. So for example, for large shuffle pass, we can check the size of the input data. There are we have these conditional code for checking those. And then for transient resource pass, we are assuming some costs about these resources, right? So there are some naive considerations for these costs. But of course, we want to, I guess a more accurate way would be to use the statistics and the cost of like the actual runs. So those kind of things that we are looking to do, if that answers your question.
Yeah, but follow-up question is, mm-hmm. if you're going to make cost-based optimization, are there cases where the optimizations are in conflict? Where you apply one optimization, it's going to increase the amount of memory used.
Right.
So another optimization might happen.
Yeah, so that's a very good question, which that's something that we've been working on these days. So there are resource constraints, of course. So for example, with large shuffle pass, you're using more memory. So with smaller memory that you're going to use, and with larger data that you're going to use, you may run into out of memory errors. So those are the cases that we want to avoid. And Also, they are the cases that our automatic optimizer should consider. So at this moment, in the demo that I showed you, the resources that we're going to use are specified separately from the optimization pass, right, as a separate JSON file. And in future, we want to integrate that into the IR layer that we have, and then use that previous historic information. So the deck that I showed you had these annotations, right? So if we can integrate the resource specifications into the IR, then we know that this job that it ran with these amounts of memory, these amounts of CPU, and so on. And then with these resources and with these optimizations, it got these results, right? So we can take those information, and we use that information to not run into those cases with running into out of memory errors or other resource conflicts and so on. Yeah? Yeah, so that's the question that I always get. So we developed our own runtime. Of course, yeah, so it's one of the things that we are considering doing, but the reason that we haven't done it yet, it's because it's very hard. It requires a lot of core changes to systems like Spark to do the optimizations that we are able to do with Nemo. So for example, the push-based shuffle, it seems very easy with this like simple annotation, but that is very, very hard to do with Spark because Spark is, from the bottom up, it is designed to do pool-based data shuffle. So the whole chunk of code in the Spark runtime is dedicated, has that assumption built inside. So just to support this single annotation, we have to change everything in Spark, and we're not sure if Spark wants us to do that. So in the meantime, we have Nemo, but of course, for more you know, use cases for more. I mean, like we say that it is easy, but it can become easier, right, to integrate with existing like Spark or Flink. Just have our optimization layer built on top. So that's something that we are also considering. But at the moment, we don't. It just takes a lot of effort. Yeah.
So, database query optimizers have a phase called physical optimization. So, like, you know, if they're doing a hash drawing, for example, if the right hash memory is available, or whether it's a memory hash drawing. So, this kind of stuff has been happening in databases for quite a long time. I know you're not necessarily working on relations, but they're working on DAGs, so it seems to be a pretty similar problem to the
So what was the name of the optimizer again?
Well, the general problem is called physical optimization.
Oh, yeah.
So logical optimization is stuff like, you know, doing rewrites on expressions and pushing down filters.
Yeah.
Physical optimization is when you know how much memory you have available, how many nodes, you then change the plan. Like, for example, high implicitness.
Yeah.
After you come up with a plan, it then optimizes based on the available resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like systems like Hive and Spark Catalyst, they have their own optimizers, right? The Catalyst optimizer, they choose like the parallelism because they generate an RDD program taking as input a Spark SQL program, right? So they do these kinds of physical optimizations. And the difference is that we are lower level. So Spark, those optimizers, especially the Spark Catalyst optimizer is compatible with the NEM optimizer. So they do not have as much fine control over the execution, the distributed execution than we do. So we for example, the IR vertices that we have, actually a simple SQL statement they are usually compiled into multiple IR vertices. And one of the things that we can do is we can configure optimizations for each IR vertex rather than like this chunk of transformations. So those kinds of things that we support. So even if you do like hash-based, so like you mentioned Hive, so it's usually run on systems like TAS, right? Yeah, so TAS has its own optimization layer. So you can consider our optimization layer similar to the layer that the TAS optimizer works on. Yeah, so we operate at a lower level. So the difference is that they have more semantics information. So they are able to use the semantics of SQL to do optimizations tailored to that, like vector optimization that the previous speaker mentioned. It's one of those optimizations that you can do. But with our layer, our layer does not have such information. Like all the IR vertices that we have, they are black boxes. So you do not assume anything that's inside those boxes. You just annotate things on top of them to change the behavior of scheduler and data communication. So we do a lower level optimizations that you otherwise would do with existing systems with ad hoc modifications of schedulers and those things.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.